Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. I'm going to start in Isaiah 9, and I'll be there most of this message. And so if you have your Bible there, turn it today to Isaiah 9 in the Old Testament, the prophesied names of Jesus Christ. I'm calling this message. And so Isaiah was a prophet, many of you know, that spoke in the Old Testament days, 650 to 700 years before Jesus came upon this earth, before Jesus set foot on this earth. Isaiah was speaking about him and speaking that there would be a light come to the nations, that there would be a light to the people who are walking in darkness. And so Isaiah was given the words of God, and he was given these prophecies to speak about Jesus Christ, our coming Savior, our coming Messiah. Well, I'm going to be taking up in Isaiah 9, verse 1. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish in earlier times. He, God, treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, God shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And so God predicted through Isaiah there that he would make this land glorious, that he would bring blessings to the land in Galilee, which is where Jesus was from, the area of Galilee. Nazareth was in the area of Galilee up in northern Israel, and that was Jesus' home. He was actually born in Bethlehem, but Galilee was the home of Joseph and Mary, his parents. And so then in verse 2, Isaiah says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Thou shalt multiply the nation, thou shalt increase their gladness. They will be glad in thy presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." And so God was prophesying through Isaiah that there would be a great light come into this dark land, and the people who are living in darkness, that the light will shine on them. And God says he will multiply the nation of these who are living in the light. And Jesus also said, John, through John, the Apostle John, that Jesus is the light of the world, that he came into this world to be the light of the world, and those who came to know him, the light of the world, that he would be given them the right to be called the children of God. That's in John 1, verse 12, where John speaks about Jesus, the Messiah, coming, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so Isaiah was prophesying there's going to be a great light. And brothers and sisters, if you are in darkness, if you're in despair, if you're in depression, if you have no hope in your life, you need to get the light of Jesus Christ in your life. You need to get the light of his hope in your life. You need to accept Jesus, and you need to come before him with your sins and lay your sins down at the foot of the cross, or nail them on the cross, and Jesus will forgive you. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. God will forgive you. Jesus shed his blood for you and just for you. And so if you acknowledge your sins and repent of your sins and come before the Lord God this day, God will be faithful and true to forgive you. And that light of the world spoken of here in Isaiah 9, verse 2, that the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Well, he was speaking specifically of those in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but it also applies to us here, everyone hearing my voice, whatever land you're in. God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of tribes and tongues. It doesn't matter where you're hearing this message today. God wants you to have the light of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you, no matter where you are or how insignificant you think you are or how unimportant you think you are. God sent his Son, Jesus, to die for you, and Isaiah prophesied that that light would come into this dark land. And of course, we have a darkness here in America now. Most of you are aware of the great moral slide that we're in, and our freedoms are being taken away from us at a very rapid pace. Our freedoms are being encroached upon by the thought police and the word police and government and everybody else are encroaching on our freedoms, and it'll be more difficult in the days ahead than it's ever been in the history of America to speak about Jesus Christ and to speak about the light of the world and to speak about the hope that we have in Him. So I would suggest you speak about it now before our freedoms continue to slide and our freedoms continue to vanish away from us. Well, Isaiah went on to prophesy in verse 6. He got more specific about who this light was going to be and who this sent from God was going to be. Verse 6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." And so Isaiah said there's going to be a child born. And if you can think about all the prophecies of Jesus Christ, there's hundreds of prophecies of Jesus Christ, his coming, and they have all been, up to this point in time, literally fulfilled. They will all be literally fulfilled. The ones that have not been fulfilled will be literally fulfilled. And so Isaiah was speaking the word of God here. He was doing it with boldness, with confidence, because he knew that the Spirit of the living God was giving him the words that were very specific. And so Isaiah was, you might say, going out on a limb here, but he had the confidence that God was giving him to be able to speak the words of God. And so he gave four names of who this light was going to be. And he said, "A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders." He wasn't talking about the government of man. He was talking about the government of the throne of David and over David's kingdom. And he was talking about that the increase of his government or of the peace of the throne of David, on the throne of David, will be established, and it will uphold justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And so Isaiah says this is coming. It is going to be accomplished by the will of God. It's going to be accomplished by the zeal of the Lord of hosts. And then he went on to say these are the four names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and Wonderful Counselor. I'm going to take these names one at a time and talk about them, and we can think about Jesus Christ. Those of you who know Jesus, you can think about these names and certainly understand that Jesus Christ certainly represents each one of these names. Wonderful Counselor. Well, Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle at heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." And so Jesus says, you can come to me with your problems. You can come to me with your despair, brothers and sisters. Whatever you've been through, I know many of you have been through some horrendous things in your life, great pain and great betrayal and great despair and disappointment, but whatever you've been through, you can take it to Jesus Christ. You can take it and lay it at the foot of the cross, and you say, "Jesus, take my pain." And 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, "Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He knows your every detail. He knows every detail of your life, and so if you cast your cares upon him, he will pick up those cares. He will pick up those burdens." Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle at heart." Jesus will never condemn you. He will never cast you away. He will never forsake you or abandon you. You can always take your cares to him. You can always take your trials and your pain to him, and he will take it off of you. You put that yoke of Jesus on you, and that yoke is easy. That yoke is light. It is not a heavy yoke. It is not a burdensome yoke. And you take that yoke upon you, and you learn from Jesus, and he will give rest to your weary soul. Well, the second name that Isaiah prophesied would be that he would be mighty God, mighty God. Well, Deuteronomy 4:34 tells us, know therefore today and take it to your heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and on the earth below there is no other. And Deuteronomy 5:7 is similar to that. You shall have no other gods before you. And verse 9, you shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on all those who hate me. And so we know that Jesus Christ was fully God, he is fully man, and yet when he came here, he was in his humanity, and he was on the cross in his humanity. He was also fully God while he was on the cross, but he was in his humanity. The blood that he bled was the same blood that we have in our bodies. It was the same water that came out of his side that we have in our bodies. And so he was fully God and fully human, but he was the Son of God. He was God incarnate here on this earth, and he came here because he was the only way, through his sacrifice, was the only way that we could be reconciled back to God. John 3:16, the scripture you all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so God gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only Son as a sacrifice for all humanity, for all mankind, that we could come to know and be reconciled back to our mighty God, our eternal Father. Well, the third name that Isaiah prophesied was just that, eternal Father. And I know many of you out there listening to me today, you have not had a good father in your life. One of the great tragedies of America, the modern America of the last two generations, one of the great tragedies, and probably maybe the greatest tragedy besides just spurning God and turning away from God, has been the breakdown of the American family and the way that fathers have abandoned their children and walked out on their families. Many of the fathers have abandoned and forsaken their families. Divorce is rampant in this country, and it's primarily because godly men have not taken their place as head of the family and stood up to the wiles of the devil and the attacks of the devil. And you have to understand that the devil wants to tear up families. That's one of his main goals. That's one of his main targets of attack, is because if he can attack the pillars of God's kingdom here on this earth, and the family is one of the pillars, marriage is one of the pillars of God's kingdom here on this earth. And so if the devil can attack it, it's a great victory for the devil, because it leaves the children exposed, and it leaves the children without covering a mother and father. And so eternal Father, Romans 8:14, Paul tells us in the book of Romans, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And may the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so, brothers and sisters, I say to you today, if you have not known a good earthly father, or maybe you haven't known any earthly father, or one that you could say that you were proud of, just let me say this to you today, that your eternal Father, your Father in heaven, who is your Creator, you can call him Abba Father, you can call him Dearest Father, and you can acknowledge him as your Father, and you speak to him as a Father. You just start unloading your cares and your pains, unloading your trials and your tribulations on him, just as if you had an earthly father. And there's times, just as an earthly father would, when our heavenly Father chastises us and disappoints us. And there's times when we need discipline from our heavenly Father, just as we need it from our earthly father. But let me tell you, this eternal Father, he will never abandon you. He will never walk out on you. He will never forsake you. And your best interests are always in his heart. He is all about seeing you succeed. He's all about loving you. He's all about caring for you and seeing that your needs are met. And so when you come to eternal Father, you can call him Abba Father, and you can be thankful that he cares about every issue in your life. Well, the last name that Isaiah prophesied would be Prince of Peace. John 14:27, Jesus told the disciples, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled or be fearful." And so as we take Jesus on and take his likeness on and we take on the Holy Spirit as believers, we then have a peace in our life that the world can't give. We have a peace that only comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because he has defeated the ruler of this world, because he has overcome the ruler of this world. John 16:33 says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in this world you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." And so Jesus said, "I have overcome the world, and I have overcome the ruler of this world, who is the devil and his demons." And so because of that, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we take on the nature of Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God inside of us. And that Spirit gives us peace. That Spirit is our counselor. That Spirit is our advocate. When the devil accuses us and the devil tries to mock us and take us away from our kingdom destiny, that Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, it will come and give you wisdom. It will speak the truth to you in all things. Yes, even things to come. And it will be your advocate before God, or in other words, your intercessor before God in those issues where the devil is accusing you and where the devil is lying against you and attempting to destroy you. And so again, there's the names, the Prince of Peace. That peace that passes all understanding comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, if you don't know Jesus, I strongly urge you, with all of the unction of the Holy Spirit and with all the zeal that I have here today, this week before Christmas, when Jesus came and we celebrate his birth and we acknowledge that he was the Savior of the world and that he came to as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he came to grow up to be a man, to hang on the cross for you and to shed his precious blood for you, that you could be reconciled back to God and know God for all eternity. I strongly urge you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to take him into your heart, repent of your sins, get down on your knees and do business with God this very day. Don't let this day pass you by without making some declaration in your life that you're going to seek the Lord with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, that you're going to come to know the Lord God, that you're going to come to know his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, God will hear your prayer. He'll hear your words. He'll hear your declarations. And he will be faithful and true to reveal himself to you and to guide you into the truth in all things. Well, I hope you have a Merry Christmas coming up this week, and I hope you are able to spend time with your families and able to spend time with people that you love. And just know this, brothers and sisters, that God loves you. It may not be everything that you want in whatever situation and circumstance you're in today, but understand this: God loves you. He cares about you. He knows every detail of your life, and he cares about it. And so if you will move forward in pursuing him and seeking him, he will be faithful and true to lead you into your destiny. Well, I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week.